Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to this weekly Torah study from New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas, taught by Pastor Scott Sigmund. We pray this message will help you better understand how God's Old Testament wisdom and New Testament revelation are meant to jointly fit together.
We are in Torah study number 22 today. My old high school football number, 22, and it ties in, but it's in Exodus 35 through Exodus 38, and I was really impressed today to teach on a subject called Success and Motivation the Biblical Way. Success and motivation the biblical way. Lydia and I are about to celebrate our 40th born-again birthday tomorrow, as a matter of fact. March 11th, 40 years serving the Lord. And we responded to the altar call that March 11th morning at our first church in Seattle, Washington. We've just had two churches in 40 years, two pastors, Pastor Casey Treat up in Seattle and Pastor Larry Huck here. We formerly were in Portland and now here in Dallas. This is our 20th year in Dallas. Holy shnikes, where does the time go? But from that day, March 11th, 1984, until now, I can tell you for sure it's been an extraordinary journey. There's been ups and downs. Thank God there's more ups than downs. And the longer you're in the Word, the longer you're a disciple of Christ, the more ups you'll have. When you learn the principles that both our first church and our final church here at New Beginnings, what we teach is so important. And one of the keys and why we're able to celebrate 40 years, not only 40 years of serving the Lord, but this is our 40th year of marriage on July 2nd. 40 years of holy wedlock. And 40 years of just a Christian life, one of the keys has been being able to maintain a certain level of motivation and inspiration and enthusiasm. For me, it has come from learning how to become a man of values, a man of principle, a man of conviction. Because in my pre-Christ days, I was Mr. Irresponsibility, Mr. Drug Addict, Mr. Alky, Mr. Party Hardy. I was partying like it was 1999 every day for 17 years. And so when I got saved, when we got saved 40 years ago, we went through a life-changing experience. And a lot of what has kept us to this day on fire for God is because we understood some values and some principles that the world doesn't teach you. And so this morning I want to get into some of that, and hopefully it'll bring into your life some of that same motivation, some of that same creative energy, some of that same drive and ambition to go to the next steps in your relationship with the Lord and living the abundant life. Amen. So it's not a coincidence. You know, Torah study number 22, my high school football number was 22. And if you're an athlete, how many of you participated in some kind of organized sports, no matter what it was? You need some motivation. Amen. If you're going to be successful, because it's the motivation that makes you want to work at it. And motivation comes up in the Torah study today. In fact, it comes up several times in the opening chapter, Exodus 35. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over there. And this idea, this concept of motivation is brought up in the context of building the tabernacle. And as we've learned, the Lord devoted numerous chapters in the Torah towards building the tabernacle, and he gave us a detailed description of how he wanted the tabernacle and all the artifacts to be built. Very precise. It was a heavy-duty blueprint that he gave to Moses. In fact, he told Moses, build the tabernacle according to the heavenly pattern that I've given you. And so what Moses built on earth is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. And over time, the entire teaching of building the tabernacle has become a metaphor for building our spiritual life, right? You are the temple of God, the Bible says. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so how God works in you and builds things in you, these principles, these values, are in order to make you into a temple of God that glorifies the Lord in all you do. And so God is showing us that he wants us to pay particular attention to his biblical architecture. Amen. He has structural design that he wants to embed in our lives. It's Christianity is not meant to just be a free-for-all. However you want to do it, do it. Build it according to the heavenly pattern. And so if we're to become all God wants us to become, disciples of Christ, as it were, we need to better understand the heavenly pattern. That's why he gave us the architectural plans in what's called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. And obviously, there's a lot that goes into it. We can't cover everything in 45 minutes, can we? I know for myself, going back 40 years, I needed an extreme makeover. The devil, the world, ungodly people in my life sowed a lot of bad seed. So I had a lot of weeds to kill. And a lot of times people aren't making any progress in growing in the Lord because there's still too many weeds in their lives and they're choking out the harvest. And so church is one of those places that it's meant to teach and train and equip the saints how to build a life that's pleasing to God, because you are a living tabernacle of the Lord. So obviously a lot goes into this. Man, do we have to renew our minds? You better believe it. Do we need to better understand what it means to work out our salvation? Yes, amen. Do we need to better understand what it means to be a new creation in Christ? Yes, we do. We need to learn how to live by faith. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to believe God, believe his promises, having done all to stand, stand. We need to learn the covenant language of God. Amen. We need to learn how to speak that covenant language over our lives, our destiny, our family, our health, our finances, our future. We need to learn how to walk in love. how to live with spiritual vision and how to. I mean, there's a lot of how-tos. And that's why Christianity is a great journey. Yeah. The altar call is just the first step of 10,000 steps. Amen. And for me, been quite a journey 40 years later, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. How many of you are with me? Your journey with Christ, you wouldn't trade that thing in for nothing. Come on. And thanks be to God for the motivation and infusion, a regular infusion of motivation to keep on keeping on. Amen. Praise God. So let's read about this thing called motivation. We call today's sermon out of Exodus 35, Success and Motivation the Biblical Way. And just for the sake of time, let's just begin in Exodus 35, 5. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Exodus 35, 5. The New King James says, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Take an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze. Now, this little phrase here, willing heart, in the Hebrew Bible is translated motivation. Whoever is motivated, let him bring an offering to the Lord. Everyone whose heart motivates him. So God is introducing this concept of motivation in this week's study. And being motivated is so, so very important if we're going to keep on keeping on. You've got to be inspired. You've got to be motivated. And sometimes we're looking for people on the outside, the external motivations, but as we'll get to here in a few minutes, the best kind of motivation comes from within. You're a self-motivated person. You're not waiting for some kind of external stimulation to get you fired up. You're fired up because you and the Holy Ghost are always fired up. Turn and tell somebody, I'm fired up. So jump down to verse 21. This idea, this concept of motivation comes up again, verse 21. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. Again, and it's translated in the Hebrew Bible a little bit differently. And it says, every man whose heart inspired him came. And everyone whose spirit motivated him brought the portion of Hashem for the work of the tabernacle. So you can see, once again, there, the people here in this example are being defined as motivated people, inspired people. Amen. And it comes up again in verse 29, Exodus 35, 29. Every man and woman whose heart motivated them. So motivation for building the tabernacle, which we just talked about, is symbolic for the building the tabernacle, is symbolic for building your life. Motivation was a key ingredient to how that got done. It was a key ingredient to completing God's plan and blueprint. And I know it's been true for me, 40 years later, serving the Lord, staying inspired, staying motivated. Yeah, I try to find external reasons on how to stay fired up. staying enthusiastic, staying connected. You got to use whatever tricks of the trade you have in your life for staying inspired and motivated. You need to lather, rinse, and repeat. Amen. Zig Ziglar, who remembers the late, great Zig Ziglar, he said that people often say that motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it daily. And so, stirring yourself up in the Holy Ghost, stirring yourself up in your most holy faith is a daily event. You don't need a 30-member choir and a Christian band following you around. But, you know, if you can do that and that helps you, amen. But God wants us to be motivated. Amen. So what is motivation? There's many definitions. The simplest definition of motivation might boil down to wanting something. I want something. And when I got saved, I wanted to know Christ. I wanted to know all about this Christianity that I was pledging my allegiance to. And the more I found out about it, the more I realized that God wanted something for me. He wanted me to change from my old stinking thinking, amen, into a blood-bought, God-incited-minded, a faith-filled, mountain-moving, devil-stomping, pew-jumping, Bible-carrying, tongue-talking, believer. And so every Christian needs to have a desire, a want, to make changes in their behavior, in their thoughts, in their feelings, in their environment, in their home, in their relationship, in their marriage with their kids, in their finances, in their career, and on and on and on and on. That's why Christianity is a journey, because all of that you can't get done in a week. It takes a lifetime. Now, some of y'all got a head start, right? Your mama had you in church from an early age, and you hadn't left church. I left church after sixth grade. I went to Lutheran school. And when you get to between sixth and seventh grade, you have what's called a confirmation. You're confirming your life to the Lord. And so I had my confirmation, and my parents got divorced in that time period, and we lived with our dad, and my dad said, son, if you want to stop going to church, you can. And I stopped going to church. And that led me into a 17-year spiral of drugs and alcohol and just being crazy. And so I needed to want a change. I need a change in my life. I need to know what it means to be a new creation, to have a new beginning. And I needed to be motivated, not just what happened a year ago or 2 years. 40 years later, I need to be motivated. You need to be motivated. You need to be on fire, inspired that God has saved you from the worst possible circumstances and has given you a destiny. Now it's your job to do something with it. So God, fill me with motivation and inspiration to want to change, and give me the drive, the ambition to improve and advance. Amen. So when we're motivated, we're energized, right? We're enthusiastic. We're excited. Sometimes you have to manufacture that. Amen? Well, when's somebody going to do something for me to get me excited? Paul said, you fan the flame of God in your life. You stir it up. Now, if others, and hopefully today's lesson and other things come into your life to help you do that, But when you become inspired to work diligently and faithfully towards becoming a godly man, a godly woman, you're going to get some godly outcomes. Amen? And a lot of that comes because you're willing to take some action. You're motivated to take action. Amen? Faith always has corresponding action. Faith without works is dead. Another way, faith has corresponding action. And it just begins with having the joy of the Lord, being thankful and grateful that you're on your way to heaven. Amen. And that's where this internal motivation comes from, right? It always comes, the best motivation comes from the inside out. Amen. That's why it's often said success is an inside job. Jesus actually taught about success being an inside job. Go with me to Matthew 12:35. In Matthew 12:35, Jesus says it this way, a good man or a good woman, out of the good treasure of their heart, brings forth good things. Amen. Isn't that good? The New Living says it this way, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. Amen. So living a motivated, inspired life, a good life, a blessed life, a quality life, an abundant life that's going to propel you into all that God has planned really needs to come up from within you. Like a river of living water, Jesus said. And this speaks to the values, to the principles that you live by. What you believe. What are you absolutely, positively committed to? Are you committed to being strong in the Lord? Are you committed to rejoicing in the Lord always? Amen. Are you committed to all the attributes, all the qualities, all the characteristics that the Bible defines? We're going to get into these in just a second. I was reading a quote by Albert Einstein. What does he know? What does Einstein know? Einstein once said, try not to become a man of success, but rather a man of values. Amen. And so with that in mind, I want to share with you seven C's of motivation. The seven C's of success and motivation. Seven values. Seven attributes that if you add these to your life are going to stimulate a level of motivation in you that the world won't give you. Now, I've adapted these and altered them somewhat from one of my business mentors, Mr. Brian Tracy, who I've studied for 30-plus years. But these things I'm about to share, these seven C's, have the potential to change your life. How many of you like the idea of going up higher on the spiritual ladder of success? Amen? So the first of the seven C's is character. Character. God doesn't want you to be a character. He wants you and I to develop character. Attributes. Amen? Personality traits that are pleasing to the Lord. And the Bible tells us all about these. And it's actually the Apostle Peter. I went through tons of examples, scriptural examples, and I just felt like the Apostle Peter gave us the best overview of the godly character that the Lord is looking for each Christian to develop in their lives. And you can see what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I'm going to read a pretty extensive length of scripture, but it's so telling. And it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. Verse 5. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Quite a list, isn't it? And Peter goes on in verse 8 and he says, the more you grow like this, the more you grow how? With faith, with moral excellence, with patient endurance, with knowledge, self-control, brotherly love. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's wanting us to be productive. He wants us to be useful. And he's saying if we develop these qualities just inside of us, there's going to be this inspiration and motivation to want to advance the cause of the Lord. And as you advance the cause of the Lord, he's going to advance your cause. To those who fail to develop in this way, they are short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10, so, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Hallelujah. And then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So character is at the top of my list today. And developing godly character, developing moral excellence, biblical knowledge, discipline, patience, brotherly love, this is what pleases the Lord, and this is what makes you a better Christian. You're already saved, so we're not talking about earning your salvation. We're talking about becoming a better person. Amen? And that's pleasing to the Lord. Character. Number two, commitment. The seven C's of biblical success and motivation. Number two, commitment. Go with me to Romans 12, verse 1. This scripture was one of the foundational scriptures in our first church up there in Seattle 40 years ago. Romans 12, beginning in verse 1, so then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. There's the commitment. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship you should offer. And then it goes on, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly. There's that word, inwardly. By a complete change of your mind. This is where we, a lot of times in church, people aren't changing. They're not even being challenged to change. I'm okay, you're okay. That's pop psychology, transaction analysis. I'm okay, you're okay. Well, no one's going around condemning, but everyone should be on the honor system. That now that I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb, I'm pledging that I'm going to have a commitment to make some changes. Some are easy and some are not so easy. But God's there to help us. God is wanting to help us to change. And we, when we come before the Lord and say, Father God, I am offering myself as a living sacrifice. I'm dedicating my life to you. I know there's some things in my life that aren't pleasing to you. I don't even like them, Lord. And I need your help to transform me. Help me to renew my mind, to get rid of this stinking thinking. Boy, we need a lot more in the church to have that mindset. Once we're able to get into that place, it's then we are able, as it says, to know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's no confusion there. And so to have a lifetime of success and motivation, need to have a strong level of commitment. Praise God. How many of you have decided to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Come on. Number three of the seven C's is clarity. 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 Proverbs 29:18. I want to read this from the Complete Jewish Bible. Proverbs 29:18. Without a prophetic vision, the people throw off all restraint, but happy is he who keeps Torah. So we're talking about clarity here. Much of the success and motivation you're going to experience as a believer comes from having clarity of purpose. Or in, as the scripture says here, a prophetic or biblical vision for your life. Amen? We need to be motivated to know who we are in Christ. We need to know it beyond a shadow of a doubt what we stand for as believers. And we need to know what God has called us to accomplish, because each of us have a divine purpose. Amen? Now look, praying in the Holy Spirit, that's a big help in trying to clarify God's will and God's direction for your life. Studying the scriptures always brings a clarity of purpose. Getting involved in ministry at any level, volunteering at any level, will make it easier for the Lord to direct your life. Amen? And it'll bring clarity to you. So number three is clarity. Number two, commitment. And number one is character. Number four of the seven C's of success and motivation, Bible style, is continuous learning. Who's ever heard of study to show yourself approved? Amen. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3:14. He's telling Timothy, who has just begun his role as a pastor at the church of Ephesus, and he says, Timothy, you should continue following the teaching you learned. Continue. Amen. You know it is true because you know you can trust those who taught you. And you have known the Holy Scriptures since you were a child. Some of you have been raised up in this. God bless you. That's the greater testimony. I got saved at 30. But looking back, I wish I would have gotten saved and served the Lord since I was a child. I wish I had known the Holy Scriptures, how to walk in love, how to walk in faith, how to live a victorious life, how to be more than a conqueror, how to pray for the sick and see them recover, and on and on. I wish I would have known that from an early age. We got our little 3-year-old grandson living at home. We're trying to teach and sow into him as much as we can. As long as you're here, we're going to keep sowing and preaching and loving and teaching. Continuous learning. And these scriptures are able to make you wise. Look, if all you have is John 3:16, that's enough to get you into heaven, but it's not enough to live an abundant life. Because the devil is too smart. He's always about as a roaring lion. And that's why even in the church, too many people take one step forward and three steps back, and they never get off the schneid. Because they don't know the scriptures. And therefore, they're not able to be wise. Because it's wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is useful for teaching and for showing people what is wrong in their lives. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. Using the scripture, those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we want in our lives. We want to be thoroughly furnished with the anointing of God, in the promises of God, building up faith in our lives so that we're walking by faith and walking as overcomers and knowing greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and on and on and on. But I don't have time to be involved with it. Most people don't read a book after the age of 18. I don't even think people read a book before 18 in today's day and age. But if you think education and investing in yourself is expensive, try ignorance. Right? Number 5, courage. We need courage. Amen. I found a scripture where King David is talking to his son Solomon. And King David has come to the end of his reign. And he is raising up Solomon to be his successor. And in 1 Chronicles 28:20, the Bible says, and this is from the Amplified, David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous and take action. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor abandon you, but will guide you in the construction until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And so there's a physical side to that. He built Solomon's temple. But there's a spiritual side in building our lives as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so courage and the motivation to keep going for God comes from knowing in your heart of hearts that God is with you. God is for you. God has a blueprint and a plan for your life. and he has not given you a spirit of fear. Be courageous. Be strong in love. Be strong in power. Be strong with a disciplined mind, because you are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror, and nothing can stop. There is no devil who can stop you. Amen. There's no power or principality that can hold you down, especially as you apply these C's. Amen? Courage. Next, number 6, concentration. Having the ability to concentrate, to focus. And it says in Psalm 1, go over to Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Torah, the Bible. And in his law, he meditates day and night. There's the focus. There's the concentration. That our minds need to be absorbed. We need to set our minds on heavenly things, on spiritual things. And as we meditate in the principles and guidelines and laws of God, you become a tree planted by rivers of living water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do will prosper. What a promise. What a promise. Success and motivation, the Bible way, comes for those that are focused on the things of God, the plans and purposes of God. Amen? So let's continue to concentrate. And as we wrap this up, number 7, compassion. Compassion. At the core of our Christianity, and what needs to motivate us from the inside out more than anything else, is that attribute, that quality of compassion, having love for one another. Amen? It's the highest attribute of God. God is love. So if we want to stay motivated throughout our Christian life, we need to develop this attribute of compassion. We need to stir ourselves up in compassion, in love, in empathy, in kindness, especially for those that are suffering, grieving, they're going through some difficult times. May God equip us spiritually, emotionally, prayerfully, financially, to be able to do things to help those that are struggling. Colossians 3:12 speaks of this. And in Colossians 3:12 it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with feelings of compassion and with kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against someone else, forgive them. Indeed, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Amen. The 7 C's of biblical success and motivation come from developing character and commitment and clarity and continuous learning and courage and concentration and compassion. Amen. Who receives that this morning? Do you receive that? Give the Lord a praise. Amen.